This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Convo by Design studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are: the ISS is open for tourism, a possible delay of the Huawei ban, is Google News mooching $4.7 billion worth of news, a new Google Map taxi safety feature is being tested in India. I want to welcome you to episode 1374 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 10th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. We are audio only once again for the show. So you just got to take a moment, get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the show. Really, it's real simple. You'll find the subscribe button on the website, either via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, wherever you may consume audio, this show is available. Of course, we want you to sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website. That link is available at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can listen on blueberry.com, find the show over there, or listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can always join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Slack channel by sending me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, that email address is great for sending feedback to the show as well. You can contact me on Twitter at Geek News, or just follow me on Facebook by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and Podcast Legends. All of those shows linked at geeknewscentral.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of podcasts. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can find all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to save either 30% off a new product purchase. You can get a $4.99.com on a new or transferred purchase. You can get the best hosting deals in the space by signing up for a 1-year hosting account. It's going to cost you $12. Either managed WordPress hosting or a standard hosting account, that $12 also includes a free domain name. So you're really in there. It's a great value. And of course, for those of you that have businesses, GoDaddy Website Builder is a great place to start. You don't need to hire a web designer. You can get started, get your business online, set up a shopping cart with GoDaddy Website Builder. You can get a 30-day free trial by using one of my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All you got to do is click the link, or more importantly, to guarantee savings, cut and paste that link at checkout. A reminder for those of you that are signing up for hosting accounts, sometimes the hosting defaults to 3 years, and that number gets big because you're paying for year 2 and year 3 at a normal price. So all you got to do is change that setting to 1 year. The price will go down to $12 as long as you're using my promo code. That way you can launch a site, try it, see if it's going to work. You got a year to build it out. And then, of course, pay attention to what the cost of the site will be after that first year introductory offer. It all depends on the features that you pick when you're in the actual trial period, or which plan you pick. So make sure you look at that as you get to selecting a hosting option. Again, managed WordPress hosting or a standard hosting account. And let me tell you, those managed WordPress sites are fantastic. I run one for a third-party site that I have, and it basically does all the updates, takes the security into consideration, backs it up. It's really a great way for someone that really has no clue when it comes to running a website, how to keep it secure. GoDaddy does that for you with that managed WordPress site. So check all those offers out. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And of course, share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Share them on social. Link to them. It's just like an in-kind donation to the show. And I appreciate your all support. We did get the numbers in for May. And we're keeping the lights on. And that's the main thing. So I want to thank GoDaddy for their ongoing support of the podcast. Well, let me catch you guys up. So Thursday of last week, we had had Spectrum out to install business internet at the new studio. I was in Saturday doing some things with the security system. I want to talk about that for a second. And I noticed that the internet was down. And lo and behold, the modem was not connecting to the internet. I was quite frustrated because I had some things I needed to get done, but they're coming tomorrow. My mom's going to let them in the studio to do the repair or whatever was wrong, but 40 hours or so. And I had noticed something was up when I was working on my camera system as well. Something was not quite right. But anyway, I didn't figure out the internet was out until almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and Spectrum said they could have sent somebody out if I had called earlier, which was pretty shocking to me on a Saturday. So anyway, I want to talk about the security system I got. And it's one that you may have heard advertised before. It's from a company called SimpliSafe. And I'm just going to be, I need to make these guys a sponsor. Holy cow. I probably shouldn't even tell you because some of you are going to run out and get one based on what I'm saying now. But this very slick, very, very slick setup. Sensors don't cost too much money. So let me describe what I installed. So had a Memorial Day sale going on, 20% off. So I kind of built my own kit. I had two door sensors. I had three smoke detectors. I have one water flooding detector. I have a hot-cold sensor in one of the rooms where the plumbing is. I have two cameras. And then I have, and these are additional cameras from what I already installed. Then there are two external additional sirens. Two key fobs, one for me, one for my mom, so she can unlock the door. You can also, and of course, it includes one wall panel system. What else? A glass breaking sensor. Is that it? Is that the total stack? I think so. Total cost of that system was just about $500. And you can go much cheaper, but you know, I wanted to make sure there was plenty of smoke detectors. So that was, you know, extra $30 a smoke detector. You don't have to have the flooding stuff. But for a normal home, you could get started really inexpensive with this. And I thought it was Wi-Fi only from a connection standpoint, and it's not. It has an actual cellular connection as well, which I was very pleased to find out. I didn't realize that was the case. So it does connect via Wi-Fi and it does connect via cellular, but probably the total time to install all that, including mounting stuff, was about 90 minutes, maybe tops. And I can set the alarm via my phone. I can check the cameras at any time. They don't record only when there's an incident. So if the alarm goes off, the eye opens up and records and sends it to the cloud. But I can view the camera really at any time. So really impressed with this system. And I think that it's going to be a winner here. But I've heard them advertised before, had high recommendations, and that's what I went with. I think the monitoring is like $14 a month or something like that compared to the system I had in Hawaii, which was like $36 for monitoring. So I'm pretty, pretty pleased. So last night, again, this is the second time, I had a little bout of insomnia. I did finally get to sleep about midnight, I guess. Got 4.5 hours sleep, got up, got a shower, drove down here to Columbus, got in about 8:30, about 3 hours and 20 minutes was the drive because I stopped and used the restroom facilities on the way down. And boy, just, you know, one thing after the other. It's very, very busy day, three different meetings, three calls, just kind of getting my groove on here. So very hectic day back in the office. Was able to finish up about 5:30. I ran and got some food back in the office and did the show prep, and it's about 7:30. So I'm pretty pleased and getting started. Everyone's gone for the day, of course. And I got into the studio, had not tested anything at all today. But when I got in here, I said, headphones aren't working. So it took me about 10 minutes to figure out someone had turned a knob. But we're up and running and obviously recording. So I'm dual recording. I'm recording to a Denon deck recorder and also to Adobe Audition on a machine that's here on the... I brought down the TriCaster Mini and to be able to set up video in here. But I don't know if I'm going to get it set up this week. I really don't. Spent a little time today hanging sound panels or sound echo suppression panels in here. I think we're pretty close. I'm very pleased with the sound. So other than that, basically back to basics here and just staying busy. So thanks, everybody, for being patient. And, of course, you know, switching studios here every other week or thereabouts, be in one studio or another. And at some point, we'll get video up and have a complete change of scenery from show to show. So I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about in news tonight. Thanks, Kirk, for doing the prep. Of course, lots of good tech articles tonight. But the first thing up is NASA wants to open the International Space Station to tourists. But, you know, there's a catch. You got to get yourself there. And there's going to be a couple of dedicated launches a year that will allow space tourists to come. You obviously have to go through all the training, which is pretty extensive. And you have to spend $33,000 a night while you're at the International Space Station. And here's the kicker. These missions will be 30 days. You're going to go up. You're not going to get to leave right away. 3, 4, 5 days? Nope. You're going to be there for 30 days. So at least you need at least another $1 million to be able to spend at the station. So all told, probably with the lift cost and everything and all the training, you know, this is not for the cheap at heart. $3-4 million. What do you guys think? Think we should start a GoFundMe? Do you think I would make a good candidate to go to the International Space Station? It would be a blast, right? To do the podcast from there. Talk about an experience. So maybe there's going to be some age criteria. Maybe I'm getting too old for it. But wow, to be able to go to the International Space Station for 30 days, what an incredible experience that would be. And of course, and largely for the rich and famous. It's being reported today that a White House official wants to delay the Huawei ban. And apparently this official is basically saying he's the acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, OMB. He requested a 2-year reprieve for Huawei, according to the Wall Street Journal. He sent a letter to Vice President Mike Pence and 9 members of Congress saying the ban would cause a dramatic reduction in companies that supply the government. It would also affect companies in rural areas that receive federal grants and loans and who use Huawei technology, according to the Wall Street Journal. He reportedly requests a span of 4 years rather than 2 from the passage of the NDAA before the Chinese company tech is barred from U.S. government usage. A spokesman for the office told the Journal that this request wouldn't go against the policy of Huawei no longer being allowed to do business in the U.S. He says this is about ensuring that companies who do business with the U.S. government or receive federal grants and loans have time to extracticate themselves from doing business with Huawei and other Chinese tech companies listed in the NDAA. An OMB spokesperson said in an emailed statement. Of course, the president issued a national security order banning Huawei from the U.S. Back in May. So we'll see where if these groups get a reprieve or not. But it just shows you how much they're integrated into companies that already do business with the U.S. government. It's being claimed by a study, a research study, says that the Google is generating $4.7 billion in revenue from news publishers. Google is disputing these numbers, but the News Media Alliance released its Google Benefit from News Content study and estimating, again, $4.7 billion in revenue from news publishers in 2018. They say Google uses a significant volume of news content to drive engagements with its products, and according to the study, which lets search giant capture user data and thus improves its service. Of the total amount, Google earned $700 million from Google News and $4 billion from news content and Google search results, according to the study. Now, let me talk a little bit about that. I am the recipient of a lot of Google traffic, very much paid for from writers from the writing team at Geek News Central, and blogging and putting fresh content into the site to keep fresh listeners coming to the show. So while Google was able to extract news from Geek News Central, I also was a recipient of a lot of traffic. Now, maybe these news companies think that they're not getting any benefit from Google, but it's a two-way street. Google give traffic and Google taketh away. And if you want to be stay in business, you want the Google search engine to grace your website and provide you, search engine traffic to you. So this, they say in this report, and again, this was by the News Media Alliance, it says the findings clearly point to Google responding to an increase in consumer searching for news and tailoring products that keep users within its ecosystem. I don't agree. They come to my site from native searches. Maybe it's not the same. I don't know. But I don't use Google News. I don't go to anything on Google that shows me, day-to-day news. I use sites like TechMeme and others to follow what's going on in the tech space. And my source of 400 to 500 different blog sources, which we use to extract, get data for this show. So the News Media Alliance Association represents 2,000 news organizations. And Google says that the back of the envelope calculations are wrong. So they're being quite tongue in cheek here. They go on to say the study ignores the value Google provides, a spokesman for the company said via email Monday. Every month, Google News and Google Search drives over 10 billion clicks to publishers' websites, which drives subscriptions and significant ad revenue. We've worked very hard to be collaborative in supporting technology and advertising partners to news publishers worldwide. I agree. At the same time, a lot of that ad revenue that's on those websites is being delivered by Google as well. So they kind of get it both ways, but they still deliver an incredible amount of traffic. So what say you? They have a right to complain? What would they do without Google? Because Bing sure isn't very accurate. My God, it's one of the easiest search engines to game out there. So I'm kind of curious what you all think. Google Maps is testing a new safety feature for taxi passengers. It's being tested in India first. And it's going to alert you if your car or taxi deviates from its route by more than 500 meters. That's 0.3 tenths of a mile. The feature was spotted by developers and appears to be exclusive to India. Off-route alerts can be found within the Stay Safer menu. The menu is accessible after you've selected your destination, but before you enter navigation mode. Google labels, from the way Google labels the option, it's clear that the off-route alerts are meant to be a safety feature, act as a warning sign if your taxi driver isn't taking you directly to your destination. Now, sometimes we've been in unknown towns and you may have been taken for a ride by a taxi driver. I know I have a few times until I've learned locations. I had that happen to me in Vegas once. Also, sometimes the traffic is so bad. I've been with a taxi cab driver before. And they said, hey, Las Vegas Boulevard is slammed. Can I go down to Sahara and come across? And I said, oh, yeah, let's do that. I knew it's going to be longer, but it's going to be faster. But I guess this is really designed to help those that are in a taxi that may not know where they're going to be able to ask your driver, hey, where are you going and why? So I think this is kind of a cool feature. We'll see where it leads. Google is confirming some Android phones have come pre-installed with Trojan malware. You know, malware in smartphones isn't anything new, but we don't expect it to be delivered out of the brand new phone. They've said that some Android devices that have actually come pre-installed with malware. And earlier this year, there was a Trojan malware called Triada that was discovered on a bunch of budget Android handsets. And again, this confirmation by Google basically acknowledges that some Android handsets were indeed compromised by this malware as part of a supply chain attack. So you were kind of hosed right off the get-go. And Google's confirmed that they've worked with the OEMs of these devices to remove the infections and close the backdoors. Don't know how much damage might have been done as a result of the malware, though. That is yet to be seen. But you think if you're going to be an OEM, don't you think that you would not have a CRC, some checked build that would be cross-checked before you install it on your phones? Must be some seriously fly-by-night folks building phones. And a very cool article over on space.com, and this is one you guys are going to really pay attention to here. And actually, I'd bookmark this because they've got a whole list of 50-year moon landing celebrations. And it's an extensive list of great coverage. It's going to be happening, really all this starting in the month of July, and a variety of different television programs, live streaming events, you name it. The list is extensive. So if you want to really get into the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon with Apollo 11, this is a good article to tag in your show notes. Google CEO Sundar Pichai, and if I pronounce his name wrong, probably do. Anyway, says tackling hate speech on YouTube is hard. And this is nothing new. We've had several of these types of interviews. And we know that YouTube is under fire for hosting channels and videos that foster hate speech and fake news. But as we've learned over the years, it's very difficult. And I don't envy their challenge in having to wade through the literally millions of videos being uploaded every day and millions of hours or whatever the total number is, and be able to basically sort out the nasty stuff, a multitude of languages. It's not easy. And if you think about where some of these hate videos originate, some of the dialects that are being used in those videos, you know, there's very small communities of those native speakers. And, it's tough for Google to sort through this stuff. But, of course, last week, YouTube said it was prohibiting videos that promote one group as superior to another, changing recommended videos to exclude more borderline content, and limiting monetization for creators, often push the limits of YouTube rules. And of course, in addition, earlier this month, it would no longer allow minors to live stream without an adult. So I don't run I guess I'm not on YouTube that much. Don't have time to be on YouTube that much. I just don't run into this stuff or actively go looking for this type of content. I just wonder how it percolates into people's YouTube channel or YouTube recommendations. Have you, as a listener of this show, been exposed to some sort of news item or a YouTube video that was over the line? Did you just happen upon it, or how did you find it? I'm real curious. So drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. The president says the United States will lead in 5G very shortly. He did an interview with CNBC about big tech and the bias that he considers coming from big tech. He says, I made 5G a priority, and before I got here, we were way behind, and now we're actually going to be leading very shortly. He told the CNBC Squawk Box, when asked about the country's standing on tech compared with China, the president added that China doesn't have near the capability of our geniuses in Silicon Valley that walk around in undershirts and are worth $2 billion. They don't have nearly genius that these people have. And I have to kind of agree on this. We've got some smart people in Silicon Valley. But what we do know China has is the ability to steal just about everything that is created by almost anybody in the world. And of course, we know the next generation of cellular tech, 5G, promises a massive boost in speed and responsiveness. Now, those of you that were on my Facebook page, you will see the lengths people have to go in rural America in order to get the internet. I had a picture of my sister's $3,000 tower with an antenna on top of it to get it high enough to beat the line of sight, to get a better line of sight to the tower that's 14 miles away. She still is looking through trees, but not as dense. And when I get my internet at the house there, I'm going to have to put a 15-foot extension on that antenna that was just put up about a year and a half ago, so we can get a little higher and get a little stronger signal, all just to get 15 megs down and 3 megs up for about $90 a month. So that just makes you choke quite a little bit to consider it. So if you haven't seen that picture on my Facebook page, please go there. Take a look at the antenna, and it'll give you a realization that if you live in the city or you are close to a cable connection, how blessed you truly are as compared to what people in rural America today have to go through just to get some semblance of internet. We'll see what 5G does, but 5G still requires line of sight, so I don't think that tower is going away anytime soon. If you're an Android user, there's a great article over at makeuseof.com talking about how to automate your Android phone for a better battery life. This is a really good one. Talks about easy device automation with something called IFTTT. Pretty slick. It allows you to set triggers and certain actions depending on where you are, where you've left, if you've left a Wi-Fi area to turn Wi-Fi off. Same thing with turning. It's all about battery savings and being more productivity. Lots of cool things in here. Talks about an app called Tasker, where it turns down the brightness of the screen. Talks about disabling Wi-Fi, about how to hibernate apps, how to take advantage of Android's smart battery feature. So this is a pretty good one. And makeuseof.com has a mixed bag of articles, and this one's pretty awesome. Now, I was pretty lucky. Before I left Hawaii, my wife and kids gave me my Father's Day present. I got some shoes. I got a wallet. And a nice belt. So I appreciate them buying me my Father's Day present, but time is running out. And the folks over at CNET have a list of probably sponsored suggestions. If you're a whiskey drinker, the Nika Coffee Malt Whiskeys, $55 and up, Apple Watch, talking about Echo Smart speakers. How about an escape room for $30 a person? And this is a escape rooms are fun to go with your kids and do, and they have them around the country. Of course, we talk about, they got some flash drives. We've got some access to media and so forth. So there's a good list of stuff here from the folks at CNET. Obviously, it's going to be in the show notes. The Verge has an interview talking about antitrust, tech antitrust. He says there's something going on. And of course, this is an extension of the CNBC article, and I should have had these linked together, didn't realize they were. When the president criticized the antitrust fines imposed by the European Union on United States tech companies, suggesting that these tech giants could in fact be monopolies, but the U.S. should be a political body raking in the settlement fees. Every week you see them going after Facebook and Apple, and all of these companies, the European Union is suing them all the time. Well, we should be doing this. There are companies. So the EU is actually making money attacking our companies. He said, we should do what they're doing so we can make some money too. They said they think there's a monopoly, but I'm not sure that they think that. They just think this is easy money. So the president says we should be suing the tech companies to get some of this cash, because the EU is doing it as well. Okay, sometimes he says some funny things. The Verge goes on to say it's unclear whether the president actually wants to impose similar fines or is only critiquing the EU moves. We have a great attorney general, he said later, and we're going to look at it differently. Over the past few years, the EU, we know, has fined some of the U.S. largest tech companies for behaving anti-competitively. Just this summer, Google was fined a record $5 billion for violating antitrust laws with the company's Android operating system. Facebook has also been subjected to a handful of privacy investigations, both the U.S. and abroad, following the Cambridge Analytica scandal. The president also talked about the administration's move to ban Chinese device and telecom infrastructure manufacturer Huawei, and whether he believed the company to be a national security threat. He says, "I do see it as a threat. At the same time, it could be very well that we do something with respect to Huawei as part of our trade negotiation with China." Trump has been making this argument for the past few weeks, suggesting that Huawei ban was only implemented to persuade the Chinese into a trade deal. So maybe there's something to that. So I don't know. I'm still of the opinion that where there's smoke, there's usually fire. It's being reported on The Verge that giant cargo drones will deliver packages farther and faster. Autonomous cargo drones are coming, but at what cost? And we know that delivery drones are being tested today, and these are designed to drop a single item nearby a distribution center or from a vehicle. And of course, Amazon announced plans to drop packages at customer stores. Alphabet Wing got FAA approval to make deliveries in the U.S. UPS said it was testing its own tech by delivering medical supplies to hospitals in Northern Virginia. And they say cargo drones may be next, where they can actually carry much bigger loads. They're coming in all sizes and shapes. For example, Boeing's cargo air vehicles weighs about 800 pounds, has 8 rotors, and allows for vertical flight, and can carry payloads up to 500 pounds. California-based startup Saberwing is working on a prototype that can achieve speeds up to 180 knots or 207 miles per hour with a cruising altitude as high as 22,000 feet. Well, that should be fun, Jack, having drones at 22,000 feet. Yes, that could be an issue. Why would they fly them that high? I understand, wind speeds and stuff, but having a lot of drones at 22,000 feet is a recipe for disaster. Keep them VFR below 10,000. Of course, they really can't be VFR, right? Unless they're under manned control. So does that mean they have to fly at 400 feet? Anyway, another startup, Nidalis, is working on a 30-foot prototype that's about the size and the weight of a military predator drone. Ooh, that's pretty big. Morgan Stanley estimates autonomous urban aircraft could become a $1.5 trillion industry by 2040. That includes everything from vertical takeoff, VTOL aircraft, flying taxis, military unmanned aerial vehicles, which is already huge, and delivery drones. But if delivery drones have shown us anything so far, it's that getting people used to the idea of packages being shuffled back and forth overhead may not be easy. 54% of Americans polled in a 2017 Pew Research survey disapproved of drones flying near residential areas. They get their stuff from Amazon much quicker. They'll quit complaining. Wow, seems like this has been going on forever. Matter of fact, it has been going on forever. This next story is about as old as this show is. Kim.com has begun its final appeal to halt its extradition to New Zealand onto the United States on copyright-related charges. And we go all the way back to 2005, when he created the website that allowed people to upload files to the cloud. Mega Upload allowed users to upload big files that could not be emailed. And of course, that caused all kinds of craziness and willful breach of copyright infringement. He went on to make millions of dollars from advertising and premium subscriptions. At its peak, it was the 13th most popular website on the internet, accounting for 4% of all online traffic worldwide. But in 2012, the FBI indicted the site owners, claiming they had knowingly breached copyright on a mass scale by hosting illegally created music, film, and software files. They said that the had cost film and music producers some $500 million in losses. It looks like Kim.com, if he loses this extradition hearing, he will be on his way to the United States to face charges after all these years. American Airlines has extended its cancellation of the 737 MAX flights to at least September. And accordingly, they say they're not quite ready. They're waiting on FAA approval of the software update. It's going through some flight testing. So they feel they got to push a couple more weeks. And they're not the only ones. But apparently they're going to take about a $350 million loss from lost revenue from flying, not able to fly the 118 flights a day that these aircraft were flying. So this continues to be an issue, but better safe than sorry, American Airlines and the other companies flying these aircraft. Comcast has got a fight I didn't even know about. They're taking a fight against a racial bias lawsuit to the Supreme Court. Apparently, oh, what's happened here? They had a television network that applied for distribution and they denied it. And the case involves Brian's Allen's Entertainment Studio Network, ESN, which claimed that Comcast's refusal to carry ESN channels was racially motivated. Comcast tried to get the case thrown out of court before the central claim of racial bias could be ruled upon. But in November of 18, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled that the case could move forward to a trial, saying the U.S. District Court improperly granted Comcast's motion to dismiss ESN's complaint. And now Comcast has petitioned the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has agreed to take up one of the claims. The court said it would consider one legal question, and does a claim of race discrimination under 42 U.S.C. Section 1981 fall in the absence of but-for causation? And so that's the discrimination law that ESN accused Comcast of violating. So see where this goes. I told you guys many times my story about asking about what it would take to get video podcast on cable, and was quite honestly kind of laughed down. Good story about how Huawei's export ban is wider in scope than most people can imagine. I won't go into details here, but if you want to learn a little bit about export law, this is a good precursor to seeing how wide this ban really is. Leading voting machine vendor vows to ditch paperless voting. Legislation to ban paperless electronic voting has stalled in Congress. Paper backup of voting is always good. Considering everything going on, digital tracing of, you never know what's going to happen here. Election System Software, which describes itself as the nation's leading elections equipment provider, has vowed to stop selling paperless electronic voting systems, at least as the primary voting device in a jurisdiction. And the company is calling on Congress to pass legislation mandating paper ballots and raising security standards for voting machines. Oh, so I got it wrong here. Congress must pass legislation establishing a more robust testing program, one that mandates that all voting machine suppliers submit their systems to stronger programmatic security testing conducted by vetted and approved researchers. Over the last 18 months, election security advocates have been pushing for new legislation, shoring up the nation's election infrastructure. Election security reform proposals enjoy significant support among Democrats who control the House of Representatives and have picked up some Republican co-sponsors too. However, such measures face hostility from the White House and from Republican leadership of the Senate. They say, I don't think there's any likelihood that we're going to move a bill that federalizes more of the election process, a member of the Senate leadership team said. The use of paperless voting machines become widespread. Some states upgraded to paperless system using federal dollars and prevented a print of the Florida recount debacle that happened in the 2000 presidential election. You remember the hung chads? Initially, a few people paid attention to computer security experts who warned that these systems were vulnerable to hacking. I think paper's good. Backup of a paper vote. Something that can prove when something goes wrong. What do you think about that? Think we should be all digital? Do you think there should be a paper backup of the voting record? I really, really do. I think I'd like to have the voting machine kick out a piece of paper where I could validate my vote and then stick that in an election box as a backup. That's what I want. I want to get done voting, get the thing that prints it out. I can read, make sure my vote was registered correctly, take it and put it in the ballot box. Of course, if they just take the digital anyway, I guess it doesn't matter, right? Two different ways to think about this. The Google Assistant is now available in Waze. Think about the last time you're stuck in traffic. I haven't been stuck in traffic recently. Hallelujah. The assistant can help with navigation in Google Maps, so it's easier to search for places along your route or add a new stop while you're on the go. Of course, you can get help from the assistant in Waze now on Android phones in English. So thanks to a community of millions of drivers computing real-time data every second, Waze helps you beat the traffic unless you're in Hawaii where there's no place to go. While the assistant can let you play music and podcasts, message your friends, and call your family hands-free without ever leaving the nav screen, many of your favorite Waze features like reporting traffic, pinpointing a pothole, or checking for alternate routes can also be accessed simply by using your voice. Just say, hey, beep. I don't want to say it here because I'll kick some of your guys' machines. Report traffic or, hey, beep, avoid tolls when navigating with Waze, and your Google Assistant will help you stay connected, informed, and minimize distractions while you're on the go and keep your hands free. You have credit problems? It happens to people all the time. Amazon credit bill card has perks that could be pitfalls from some consumers. They've got a secured credit card they're offering, but be careful. It's got a 28% interest rate, which is even higher than most revolving credit cards for stores. You can put $1,000 secured to help you rebuild credit. They're going to report that to all the credit agencies on your payback history. So this is a good thing. If you have destroyed credit, just make sure you pay your bill. Don't get whacked for that interest, okay? The card has no annual fee, but you would have to charge your $119 yearly membership through it. You can get 5% back on purchases, and you can upgrade to Amazon's more consumer-friendly card once you kind of reestablish your credit. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Our kids are as addicted to tech as we are, so we might as well get them on task, get them organized, and get the family organized using Google Calendar and a variety of different things. In the days of carrying around a mule skin appointment calendar is probably long gone for many of us. So, you know, digital cameras, using chat apps, even wearables to track your kids, homework software, you name it, it's all out there. So we got some good suggestions from the team at Engadget. Link will be up in the show notes. If they're going to use their gadgets, we might as well teach them to be productive using them. I think it'll help all of us in the long run. The Mozilla CEO is saying a premium version of Firefox is coming this fall. Whoa, why is that? Well, they're going to add features like VPN and secure storage. So they got to find a way to keep supporting the beast. This version will be available as a monthly subscription. Users will have access to standard Firefox release with additional services. Things haven't been completely ironed out, but he suggests some of these additional features will be in VPN and secure storage. He said current Firefox features would remain free, and the browser maker won't take previously free features and move them into a premium tier. Expect this to come in October. Gmail's dynamic email will be available to everyone on July 2nd. You can RSVP to an event, fill out a survey without ever leaving your mailbox. So Google will make AMP-powered dynamic emails for Gmail available again to the general public following the beta release to paying G Suite customers earlier this year. If you've encountered an AMP or an accelerated mobile page, if you've opened a link on your phone, it's a Google-built protocol that can load web pages using it a lot more quickly. Geek News Central is completely AMP. It's basically got the AMP protocol set up. So they got all kinds of new features here and nice perks and stuff. And some of the stuff I've seen, I didn't even realize this was part of the dynamic email package. Uber's making basically investing in tech with a New York hiring spree, and they're expanding its financial service efforts by hiring several dozen engineers. The New York team could eventually exceed 100. The goal is to create products that increase loyalty and engagement among users and drivers, including a possible bank account. Everyone wants to get into the banking business. You notice this? There's something going on there. You want to have a tech company, you got to have a bank to go along with it. Customs and Border Patrol says traveler photos and license plate images have been stolen in a data breach. The photos were transferred to a subcontractor network and later stolen through a malicious cyber attack. CBP's network were unaffected by the breach. CBP learned that a subcontractor in violation of CBP policies and without CBP authorization or knowledge had transferred copies of license plates, images, and traveler images collected by CBP to the subcontractor's company network. Initial information indicates the subcontractor violated mandatory security and privacy protocols outlined in their contract. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So I'm sure we'll all get notices on this. Been through the border lately? Drove your car through? 7 thrifty Android apps to save money on car expenses. So one of them is called Torque. It basically tells you how you're driving. And another one's called Win It. So after a night out, you walk back to your car only to find a little slip of paper tucked in between your windshield wiper. You realize you got ticketed. In case that, you get a parking ticket. But this one is specialized in disputing New York City parking tickets. Simply upload a picture of your parking ticket to the app or search for tickets associated with license plates. Once you submit your ticket, you can add any evidence, and Win It will do the rest. If you win your case, Win It will charge you half the price you should have paid for the ticket. Something called Scoop. Talk about carpooling, drive mode, Turo. Anyway, there's a bunch of these here. Link will be up in the show notes for you. Amazon Scout robots. Well, have you had a robot come to your house? Well, probably not yet. The Amazon Scout program is only happening in one test area, but there was a good interview about what the Amazon Scout is doing, and the robot's traversing sidewalks to get to your house to drop stuff off. It basically gets packages to customers in 30 minutes or less, so you got to be in a pretty close proximity to one of these distribution points. And they actually talk about how they taught Scout to roll and how to traverse some sidewalks, which you and I both know are sometimes pretty beat up. So the idea is eventually pair Scouts with delivery drivers and let the robots operate more on their own, maybe the last mile, to that type of an effect. And they've been training Scouts to drive around various areas north of Seattle. There's some sports trackers out there that you may want to consider if you're not using an Apple Watch. And this will help you track your fitness. Of course, the My Band and the Fitbit are well known, but Move HR Sweat is one I'm not familiar with. Fitbit Versa is pretty popular. Garmin Fenix 5 Plus. These are all different types of devices that they recommend if you don't have an Apple Watch as an alternative. A Pixel 4 picture or a render has been leaked and shows a rear camera and bottom speakers. So if you're a Pixel fan and you want to see what it looks like, what Pixel 4 is going to look like, I think at this point it's kind of like, all right, it's just another phone, right? Are these leaked pictures really that critical? I don't think so, to be honest with you. All right, as a reminder, I want you to make sure you get over to geekandcentral.com. We've got some good articles over there right now. Alan wrote a VLC article, talk about patches and security flaws. Jen wrote one on Microsoft introducing the Project Scarlet, and it's talking about console power. And of course, there's some good stuff on Apple's enhanced privacy and security in iOS 13. Of course, there's an article as well about Google announcing first collection of Stadia games. So if you're a gamer and interested in that, of course, and then previous editions of the Geek News Central podcast. So a little bit of a shorter show here lately, just the way it is. I guess we always go shorter when we're not doing video or when I'm not doing video. Tonight, I'll be honest with you, I'm dragging. I hope I kept the energy up for you during the show. It's been my pleasure to bring you the podcast. I'll be back with you on Thursday from Cleveland. I have to drive up to Cleveland. I'm meeting with a cool company Friday. And then I'll be back in Michigan next week. But busy, busy week here. Very, very busy. So I hope all of you have a great week. Send me your comments about the show. How does the audio sound from this studio? I'm kind of curious. Let me know. Actually, it looked when I started the show tonight, it looked a little hot, so I dialed it back so I'm hoping we're good and not overdriven. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing you the podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget about my sponsor, GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And those of you that have been jumping in as insiders, thank you. We've had a number of new folks come in and start contributions. A lot of $5 folks jumping in. So again, $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month, it really goes a long way in helping us continue to do the show and doing what I do. It's been my pleasure here again. And thank you to all the insiders that continue to contribute, especially our $25 level Patreons. Thank you. Thank you so much. Need about 100 more of you. But anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Bye-bye.